Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right now it is time to talk UFC because UFC 282 is on this weekend and Mike Angove, the head striking coach for UFC Performance Institute Shanghai, joins us. G'day Mike, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Waiting for an Uber and Auckland. We just lost the wrong place. Tell us for the background noise in the way.
Yeah, whereabouts are you heading to, mate?
Just into the gym, right?
Just into it. Never stops, mate. It never stops. Hey, let's talk this weekend. UFC 282. Jan Błachowicz up against Magomed Ankalaev. I mean, this is a great matchup, but it does feel like Ankalaev here is the heavy favorite just because of that movement, his footwork, and the way he controls fights.
Yeah, well, look, it feels like a passing of the torch, really. Obviously, Glover narrowly lost to Jerry Prochazka in a fight he was winning, which led to this fight not being able to take place with the injuries to Prochazka. Then we go Jan, the former champ. He's a very good striker, decent grappling, but not absolutely world-class grappling against Ankalaev, who is a very, very sharp striker. He's very aggressive. He picks his shots well, and he can move, and he's defensively sound. So the question's really, can Jan's striking match up with the aggression and the speed of Ankalaev? Thus far, we haven't seen that happen in terms of people who've matched up with Ankalaev. He's very, very strong across the board. It's an interesting fight. Błachowicz has good power. Ankalaev has a decent chin. Błachowicz has some things he does very, very well. He's very left-hand dominant. Ankalaev has got a variety. But as we said, it's a fascinating matchup. We get to see whether Ankalaev is ready to take that first step up.
Yeah, it's going to be a real test for him because, I mean, the one thing that Jan Błachowicz does have that Ankalaev doesn't have is one-punch knockout power, right?
Yeah, but, he certainly has the one-punch knockout power, but Ankalaev's finished a lot of fighters. He's decent, he may not have single-shot devastating power, but he's going to hurt you with every shot that he throws. So that's something we have to keep very much in mind.
I mean, if you're Błachowicz, I look at this and, because of you mentioned the footwork and the movement of Ankalaev, I kind of think, well, you don't necessarily want to grapple Ankalaev. You do want to try and push him to the cage and try and keep him up against the cage as much as you can. I mean, if you were coaching Jan, what would you be telling him in this fight?
Well, they're both going to feel each other out on the feet first. Jan's going to see whether his, very solid defensive game, his good distance management, his decent jab, can mitigate the speed and variety of Ankalaev. Obviously, working against the fence, there's an option there to see whether he's going to use his weight. But again, Ankalaev, although he is a striker, he's a decent wrestler, and a lot of the Russian and the Eastern Bloc countries in particular, they're very solid against the fence. They're very good at reversals. They're very good at any locks, etc. So, that will be interesting to see how he fares if he goes down that road. I think both of them are naturally strikers, so that's where we're going to see the first adaption. Who starts to get on top there will lead to, the first adjustment in the fight, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. The punters love Ankalaev. What chance do you give Błachowicz of maybe, one-shotting him and getting a W here?
You got to give Błachowicz a lot of chance. He knows it's last chance saloon, so there'll be a sense of desperation there. This is his second opportunity at a title. he was always the underdog. He's used to being the underdog, and I think he thrives in that environment and in that context. So, you know, I'd give him more than a decent chance. He's a former UFC champion. He's dealt with the speed of Israel Adesanya, you know, who's a varied striker. So that gives you an idea. He does have the ability to control distance and length and timing with someone who's quicker than him. You know, so we've got to remember it's not just, you know, Jan's a slow old man. He's still dangerous. In the heavyweights, you peak later in age. He's not as old as Glover. You know, he's still very strong. So I think we've got to factor in those things when we start considering. What it really is this too big a step for Uncle I have to make at this point, or is it really his time? For a long time, he and Prohaska have been seen as the heir apparent in the light heavyweight division. And, you know, this is a step he would have had to make, really, regardless of whether or not it was a title fight. He was due this kind of step-up fight. So it would have been a Jan Blachowicz, or it would have been a Glover Teixeira in any case. And so now we're going to see it in a title context.
Yeah, looking forward to that as the headline fight at UFC 282. Of course, the other main event on the card is it's quite funny to look at, but obviously Dana White sees Paddy Pimblett as a guy who is box office, much like Conor McGregor, because even though he's unranked, he's only in his fourth fight against Jared Gordon in the UFC. You know, he is on that main card. He is right at the pointy end of it as well. I mean, the fight against Jared Gordon looks pretty well matched too. These are two guys who have quite similar records and quite similar approaches.
Yeah, you know, again, matchmakers can determine the outcome of fights in many cases. So what I'm looking at here is to see an improvement in Paddy Pimblett's striking. He's an aggressive striker, but without the defensive responsibility. He's got a decent chin, but that will cost him against better guys. You know, Burrows is also a grappler. Pimblett's got a very good grappling game. So, you know, we'll see how that shapes out. But clearly, I think it's well matched. I think Pimblett's probably an edge in terms of favourite. And, you know, it's giving him an opportunity at the top of the gate to see if he can, you know, continue to be the entertainer and continue on his run in the UFC. Because clearly, you know, people love him. And obviously also we've got to remember UK is becoming a big market, so you need a couple of rock stars to put on the card when they head back to the UK.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because there's a guy that is on the main card who I feel is almost at last chance saloon with the UFC, and that's Darren Till. He's lost four of his last five fights. And Dricus du Plessis is coming the other way, young South African fighter. He's had a performance of the night already. He's only had three fights in the UFC. He's won all three. This is a dangerous fight for Darren Till.
Yeah, but every fight at the level that Darren's at is dangerous. I wouldn't underestimate Darren. Du Plessis, to be honest, I haven't spent a huge amount of time studying him. But, you know, Till, he's entertaining. He's had a couple of fights that were very close. You know, you've got to remember he dropped Whitaker, and Whitaker pushed Israel close. You know, and that was a fight that was basically determined in the final round by a takedown. You know, so we've got to remember that Till is still very dangerous. We remember him being knocked out by Masvidal, but we forget that, you know, he smashed him early in that fight. You know, so look, Till is dangerous. He's a very, very good striker. I'm fascinated to see what he's been doing with, you know, with the Chechen, you know, the Smesh brothers. So, you know, I assume if he's been working with Hamzat and just hasn't been going out to the club and getting on the cast, I assume he'll be trying to add to his game, because we all know what Till's weakness has been. It's been in his takedown and his grappling work. So, you know, let's have a look at that. Let's see how he's developed. I think his striking would serve him well in this fight. Du Plessis can't really afford to make a mistake. What I'll be interested to see is if Du Plessis chooses to go the wrestling route, and whether or not... Oh, sorry, mate, we just had a truck driver who's blind pull in front of us. We have to pause for a second.
Yeah.
you know, so it'll be interesting to see how Till's grappling has improved, because I think that's a key facet in this game.
Yeah, indeed. All right, mate, I look forward to that one. And then there's a fight that's actually on the early prelim card, which is amazing for me, because Alexander Hernandez, not long ago, was a main card guy. He's fighting Billy Quarantillo, and this, I think, is going to be a really interesting fight. If I was a man to look at stats, I would say that this is just about nailed on for Alexander the Great, because he goes win-loss, 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 win-loss the last eight fights, and so he's due a win, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, well, you know, they've matched that up for a reason. I've got to be honest, I haven't looked at his opponent much, but he's still a very capable fighter, and you have to look at who he's fought and who he's lost against. He is a decent-level fighter who, unfortunately, due to his record, is now become a journeyman, if you like. And that's essentially where we will see on with this fight. Is he good enough to deal with a younger guy up and coming?
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. I mean, Quarantillo lost his last fight at UFC 268 by decision, but before that had been pretty good. He's had four knockout wins in the UFC, as well as a contender for Fight of the Year. So that is going to be one to watch. I'm just surprised it is where it is on the card. Hey, Mike, I know you're just about at the gym, but before we let you go, Perth, March next year, is that really the focus for CKB at the moment?
Yeah, of course. You know, there won't be a lot of Christmas pudding being eaten by some of the fighters on the card. So that, you know, that's going to be a critical element. You know, and it's probably likely to have more Kiwis on that card as well. You know, as we as the next sort of month or so develops, you know, we've certainly got guys who we've got on notice for that card.
Yeah, mate. All right, we look forward to that card. And I guess that'll have to be on the coaches to eat all the fighters' share of Christmas pud then, will it? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, you know, coaches have sacrificed enough in their career, and then we have to put up with fighters day in, day out. So, yeah, every now and then I guess it's okay to eat a bit of Christmas pudding.
Yeah, good stuff, Mike. Hey, mate, really appreciate your time. Go well, have a good day, and enjoy your Christmas if we don't catch up beforehand.
Yeah, cheers, mate. No worries.
Thank you. Mike Angove with us talking UFC 282 on Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to that one.